Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Numbers today, so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and we'll be reading chapters 33 through 36. I will take some devotional pauses, think through some application at the end, and then close in prayer, and I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word, even this portion of Numbers, Lord, that you would help us to learn something about you and our relationship with you through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers 33. Here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. This is their journey by stages. The Israelites set out from Ramses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. They marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, for the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. The Israelites left Ramses and camped at Succoth. They left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. They left Etham, turned back to Pi Haroth to the east of Baal Zephon and camped near Migdal. They left Pi Haroth and passed through the sea into the desert, and when they had traveled for 3 days in the desert of Etham, they camped at Marah. They left Marah and went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. Details interesting. They left Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They left the Red Sea and camped by the desert of Sin. They left the desert of Sin and camped at Dokpha. They left Dokpha and camped at Elush. They left Elush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They left Rephidim and camped in the desert of Sinai. They left the desert of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattaavah. They left Kibroth Hattaavah and camped at Hazeroth. They left Hazeroth and camped at Rithmah. They left Rithmah and camped at Rimmon Perez. They left Rimmon Perez and camped at Libna. They left Libna and camped at Rissa. They left Rissa and camped at Kehelatha. They left Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shepher. They left Mount Shepher and camped at Haradah. They left Haradah and camped at Machaloth. They left Machaloth and camped at Tahath. They left Tahath and camped at Terah. They left Terah and camped at Mithkah. They left Mithkah and camped at Hashmonah. They left Hashmonah and camped at Mazareth. They left Mazareth and camped at Benijakin. They left Benijakin and camped at Hor Haggadad. They left Hor Haggadad and camped at Jokdabah. They left Jokdabah and camped at Abrana. They left Brana and camped at Ezion Geber. They left Ezion Geber and camped at Kadesh in the desert of Zin. They left Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the border of Edom. At the Lord's command, Aaron the priest, went up to Mount Hor, where he died on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt. Again, lots of details, but it puts a lot of the other historical stuff of them into some more perspective here. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. The Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev of Canaan, heard that the Israelites were coming. They left Mount Hor and camped at Zalmanah. They left Zalmanah and camped at Punon. They left Punon and camped at Oboth. They left Oboth and camped at Ai Abarim on the border of Moab. They left Ai Abarim and camped at Dibon Gad. They left Dibon Gad and camped at Almon Diblathim. They left Almon Diblathim and camped in the mountains of Abarim near Nebo. They left the mountains of Abram and camped on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. There on the plains of Moab, they camped along the Jordan from Beth Jemdash to Abel Shittim. On the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their cast idols and demolish all their high places. Take possession in the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Distribute the land by lot according to your clans. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance. To a smaller group, a smaller one. Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs. Distribute it according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land where you will live. And then I will do to you what I plan to do to them." And we see that through the history of Israel, where they refused to do everything God had called them to do, driving people out of the land and taking what God had given them. And then it comes back to bite them later. because those sinful people then who are not obeying God infiltrate the hearts of those who were supposed to be, and then there's consequences for everybody. Chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites and say to them, when you enter Canaan, the land that will be allotted to you as inheritance is to have these boundaries. Your southern side will include some of the desert of Zin along the border of Edom. Your southern boundary will start in the east from the southern end of the Dead Sea, cross south of Scorpion Pass, continue on to Zin and go south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it will go to Hazar Adar and over to Ammon, where it will turn, join the Wadi of Egypt, and end at the Mediterranean Sea. Your western boundary will be the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. This will be your boundary on the west. For your northern boundary, run a line from the Mediterranean Sea to Mount Hor, and from Mount Hor to Lebo Hamath. Then the boundary will go to Zedad, continue to Ziphron, and end at Hazer Enon. This will be your boundary on the north. For your eastern boundary, run a line from Hazer Enon to Shechem. The boundary will go down from Shechem to Riblah on the east side of Ain and continue along the slopes east of the Sea of Galilee. Then the boundary will go down along the Jordan and end at the Dead Sea. This will be your land with its boundaries on every side. Moses commanded the Israelites, assign this land by lot as an inheritance. The Lord has ordered that it be given to the 9.5 tribes because the families of the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. These 2.5 tribes have received their inheritance east of the Jordan, across from Jericho, toward the sunrise. The Lord said to Moses, these are the names of the men who are to assign the land for you as inheritance, Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun, and appoint one leader from each tribe to help assign the land. These are their names: Caleb son of Jephunneh from the tribe of Judah, Shemuel son of Ammihud from the tribe of Simeon, Eladad son of Kislon from the tribe of Benjamin, Buki son of Jogli, the leader from the tribe of Dan, Haniel son of Ephod, the leader from the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, Kemuel, son of Shiftan, the leader from the tribe of Ephraim, son of Joseph, Elisphan, son of Parnak, the leader from the tribe of Zebulun, Paltiel, son of Azan, the leader from the tribe of Issachar, Ahidad, son of Shalmai, the leader from the tribe of Asher, Padiel, son of Ammihud, the leader from the tribe of Naphtali. These are the men the Lord commanded to assign the inheritance to the Israelites in the land of Canaan. Chapter 35. On the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for the cattle they own and all their other animals. The pasture lands around the towns that you give the Levites will extend 1,000 cubits from the town wall. Outside the town, measure 2,000 cubits on the east side, 2,000 on the south side, 2,000 on the west, and 2,000 on the north, with the town in the center. They will have this area as pasture land for the towns. 6 of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelite possesses are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many and few from one that has few. Then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. These 6 towns you give will be your cities of refuge. Give 3 on this side of the Jordan and 3 in Canaan as cities of refuge. These 6 towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites and for foreigners residing among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there. If anyone strikes someone a fatal blow with an iron object, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. Or if anyone is holding a stone and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. Or if anyone is holding a wooden object and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death. When the avenger comes upon the murderer, the avenger shall put the murderer to death. If anyone with malice aforethought shoves another or throws something at them intentionally so that they die, or if out of enmity one person hits another with their fist so that the other dies, that person is to be put to death. That person is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when they meet. But if without enmity someone suddenly pushes another or throws something at them unintentionally, or without seeing them drops on them a heavy stone enough to kill them and they die, then since that other person was not an enemy and no harm was intended, the assembly must judge between the accused and the avenger of blood according to these regulations. The assembly must protect the one accused of murder from the avenger of blood and send the accused back to the city of refuge to which they fled. The accused must stay there until the death of the high priest, who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the accused ever goes outside the limits of the city of refuge to which they fled, and the avenger of blood finds them outside the city, the avenger of blood may kill the accused without being guilty of murder. The accused must stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Only after the death of the high priest may they return to their own property. This is to have the force of law for you throughout the generations to come, wherever you live. Anyone who kills a person is to be put to death as a murderer, only on the testimony of witnesses. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Do not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who deserves to die. They are to be put to death. Do not accept a ransom for anyone who has fled to a city of refuge, and so allow them to go back and live on their own land before the death of the high priest. Do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. That's the end of chapter 35. And interesting, just the details here of the law that God is setting and the specific things that he's talking about. Many cultures after that, made some of their own laws and rules based on what God said here. But the principles certainly remain of the things that he's concerned about. But the specifics of how he has them go about it then would change, with other cultures or people in the future. Chapter 36. The family heads of the clan of Gilead, son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who were from the clans of the descendants of Joseph, came and spoke before Moses and the leaders, the heads of the Israelite families. They said, "When the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land as inheritance to the Israelites by lot, he ordered you to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. Now, suppose they marry men from other Israelite tribes. When their inheritance will be taken from our ancestral inheritance and added to that of the tribe they marry into, and so part of the inheritance allotted to us will be taken away. When the year of Jubilee for the Israelite comes, their inheritance will be added to that of the tribe into which they marry, and their property will be taken from the tribal inheritance of our ancestors." Then at the Lord's command, Moses gave this order to the Israelites. "What the tribe of the descendants of Joseph is saying is right. This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughters. They may marry anyone they please as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan. No inheritance in Israel is to pass from one tribe to another, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal inheritance of their ancestors. Every daughter who inherits land in an Israelite tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of their ancestors. No inheritance may pass from one tribe to another, for each Israelite tribe is to keep the land it inherits." So Zelophehad's daughters did as the Lord commanded Moses. Zelophehad's daughters, Mela, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, married their cousins on their father's side. They married within the clans of the descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in their father's tribe and clan. These are the commands and regulations the Lord gave through Moses to the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. That's the end of Numbers 36. That's the end of the book of Numbers. And that's the end of our reading for today. When you look through this, you say, well, what in the world does this have to do with me? A lot of these regulations are no longer regulations for us. But they do tell us about God and some things about how his people will respond to God. A couple things come to my mind. One is, God expected total allegiance. And he knew that if people who honored God, wanted to honor God, would come into relationship with people who did not want to honor God, eventually, those who did not want to honor God would unduly influence those who didn't want to honor God, and there would be a problem, which is why God set up many things to just have to do with my people need to do things for their own people and marry within their own people. Now, the other thing that that comes across to me is just the provision that God gave. He thought of everything. He thought of how are we going to provide for these people? How are we going to provide for these people? How are the foreigners going to be provided for? How are the poor going to be provided for? How are the different tribes going to be provided for? How are the Levites, those who don't have their own land, going to be provided for? God is a God of provision. He was then and he still is today. So my takeaway is, first of all, to thank God for his provision for me, even though it may be different than it was thousands of years ago with the nation of Israel and the tribes. Also, to commit myself to following him in every aspect of his word. He has given me his word to follow and to honor him in. And that's what I want to do today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Numbers, Father. It's not a book we spend much time in, and yet we see a lot of your character through Numbers. Help me to respond to you through thankfulness for all your provision, and to respond to you, Father, in obedience with everything you've given me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.